Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You may be seated, for you have heard the three texts. In the beginning is the triune God. All things were under, the Father speaks and all things were created through the Son, and the Holy Spirit hovers above the waters. There are companies in the world. Oops, this is either it's the microphone is fading out once in a while, or the batteries are going. Presto. Welcome, technology. Okay, now to get serious again. Which is kind of hard, isn't it? There are a couple of companies in the world that are highly specialized and are in the business of making islands in the ocean. They tell you that it takes a lot of dirt and debris, a lot of concrete, and a lot of money. You know, the seas, though, will always be deep and mysterious. Unstable, living and active, but the Lord has made us with lungs and feet, not with gills and fins. We live on land. When God creates the heavens and the earth, though, he starts with water. And it's delightful how all of this is under his authority. And it would seem more sensible if the Lord would go ahead and start creating the earth, well, with earth, right? You know, that he would go somehow with his divine finger and go ahead and trace out an ocean over here and an ocean over here and a river and a lake. No, God starts with water. And then simply gathers them in what we call oceans, and exposes the land like it's no big thing. But when man goes out and builds, right? You're going to go build a subdivision, you find a piece of land, okay? And you go ahead, and if you want some water features, hollows out some of the land or a canal and digs it out. But again, the Lord starts with water. And he draws the lands out of the seas. He populates both, and he says, right? Let the water swarm with swarming things and living creatures, and let the birds fly, and the earth across the expanse of the heavens. Let the birds fly across the expanse in the heavens. And so the sea is filled, and the sky with birds. And the Lord speaks again, and shrubs, and trees, and grass, and all kinds of plants cover the earth, yeah, which are lovely to the eye and good for food. And then he speaks, and he creates animals and little creeping things. And as you heard before, in the perfect creation, those creepy things are marvelous and fascinating, beautiful additions, and all is good in paradise. And finally, God makes man. He makes him out of the dust of the ground. He breathes into his nostrils, and he becomes a living being, and he stands on solid ground. Land is good, but by itself, it needs water. So the Lord appoints a river to flow in Eden. And as you read there, the river comes from one river and then divides out into four and waters the lands around Eden. Now, if you would think about that, most of us would think that when you go ahead and take one river and divide it into four, it becomes less. But we're thinking from the perspective of an imperfect world, a fallen world, and we really don't know what the physics was like in a perfect world, that these rivers come from one river and vigorous and water all of Eden and all of the lands around. Our God is a God of abundance. So when Adam and Eve fall into sin and creation groans under the curse, land and water, they fall into chaos. Fertile soil becomes desert and wilderness. Rivers rage, and tsunamis destroy and crash and devastate the land. And with the fall into sin, the perfection of creation is upended, and nothing works according to design. And nor does man work according to design. Adam and Eve, their perfect bodies now begin to return to dust, to go ahead and decay. Their minds become closed, full of fog, and they twist. Worse, they, by their very nature, are now corrupt. Humanity is not people fading, people doing good things, but dying sinners who do bad. And you know the rest of the story from here as we read from Genesis 6. Now the Lord God saw the wickedness of man was great in all the earth, and every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil all the time. And the Lord regretted that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him to his heart. So the Lord said, I will blot out man whom I have created from the face of the land, and man and animals and creeping things and birds of the heavens, for I am sorry that I have made them. So how does God go ahead and blot man from the face of the earth? He covers it with water, with the water from whence it all came. He sends a flood, and all are lost except Noah and his family. Every living thing on earth, man and beast, drowns and dies. It is massive devastation, but it is a reboot of creation. Not in one day, in the way it was created, but day after day, gradually the flood waters recede, and the Lord draws back the land out of the seas once again and restores the earth with plants and shrubs and all kinds of wonderful things. He provides a land for Noah and his family to go ahead and put their feet now on dry ground. Once Adam and Eve stood righteous and holy in a perfect world, now the Lord has drowned the wicked, cleansed creation, safely delivered Noah and his family, not to mention two of every animal and some even seven. It's a renovated creation. Reboot 1.25, if you want to say. Vastly improved from the wickedness found on that day that the rains started. Much better than it was. But it is not a defeat of sin. Sure, the overtly wicked and willful sinners no longer stand on earth, and creation is bathed under the curse of sin. But Noah and his family, they still carry within this old, twisted nature. God remains faithful, but man does not. And within three verses, What do we find that happens? Again, Noah and his family are embroiled in a scandal of drunkenness, immorality, and a devastating curse. Clearly, it is not enough that God drowns the wicked so that only his followers remain. There is only one way to be perfect in a perfect creation, and that is to get rid of the corrupted one, to create a new heavens and a new earth. And the only way for Noah to live on that new earth is to die and to rise again. And that is beyond Noah's ability. It must be done for him. So the Lord, through all things were created, becomes flesh in the fullness of time. He is still omnipotent, but he humbles himself. He gives up on none of his might, for the waves of the sea, as they threaten the disciples, he simply tells them to be still, and the oceans obey. Obey his command, and when the disciples have trouble making headway in the sea, he just walks across the sea and even enables Peter to walk on the water with him. This is the Lord of heaven and earth, who creates and gives life with water, and he turns water into wine, saving a wedding. He tells Nicodemus that he must be born again by water and the Spirit, and he gives the Samaritan woman life-giving water. The Lord, who commands the seas, could destroy his enemies with a word, but he has come to save them, and to save them by bearing their sins on a cross. For the sake of sinners, the one who gives life submits to death at the hand of sinners. For the sake of the one who creates, or for the sake of sinners, one who creates is hung on the cross to be destroyed. For the sake of sinners, the Lord, who enlivens with water and saves with water, says from the cross, "I thirst." Yeah, the one who creates water himself is out of water. And that is enough for a victory. The one on the cross who thirsts so that sinners might have living waters says so. "It is finished," he declares. And then he dies. He dies in your place for your sins. He dies and rises again so that on the last day you are raised up for the new creation 2.0. And he gives it to you by water and the word. As you are ones who are baptized, you live now clothed with the righteousness of Christ to stand before God. As the flood once washed away the wicked and saved righteous Noah and his family, so in baptism your sins are washed away. But take care. Take care to remember. Remember that Noah is still saint and sinner, declared righteous by God, and yet who is a drunkard and curses his son. Until the last day, that arrival of the new heaven and the new earth, you too are saint and sinner. So daily repent of your sins. Drown the old Adam by your confession and cling to Christ. The Christ who died as a sinner to make you a saint. But also take time to acknowledge your sin. You know, you can go ahead and say, you know, if I lived among better people and had a better situation, if I had a better job, lived under a better government, I certainly could be a better person. Right? Many of us have said that. But you know what? That's been all done before. And the Lord washed it all away so that there might be 8 that were alive. But there were still 8 sinners. They weren't made righteous by the removal and the elimination of other sinners. Think about that, right? That can only be done by the blood of the Lamb or the blood of the one who was to come and comes and goes to the cross. In other words, it certainly might be true that you'd be better with better people, in a better situation, with a better government, but then you'd just be a better sinner, wouldn't you? And you'd still be cursed and condemned. No, confess your sin. And rejoice in this, that the Lord who commanded the waters thirsted on the cross for your salvation. By water and the word, he gives life to you so that you would be a new creation who never thirsts again. Amen. Now the peace of God that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.